If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus and that whole story. And that was the first time I saw that. That's how much I trust Ben and Chris. They said, oh, trust us. It's great. It was funny. It was good. Now, we are in a series of messages on roads. And we're talking about, depending on the passage, some of the passages that we're looking at talks about roads metaphorically, like the road of life, you know, the path of life. And some of the stories we're looking at actually happen on a road. And no matter who you are on a journey. Okay, and for just a brief moment today, our journeys, our roads cross here at Genesis Church, and we hang out, we worship together, and we pray together, and we look at God's Word together, and we think together, and God's going to speak to you today, and He probably already has, and He's prompted some things in your heart and mind that you need to do, that you need to reconcile, you need to make right, or something that you need to change in your life, and we're all on this journey together, and so God is talking to us on these road passages in the Bible. And when you leave here today, you'll be on your unique journey that's completely unique to you and taking you wherever you go through the rest of the day and the rest of the week and the rest of your life. But it's important to have a good grasp and a good foundation and to have a road map, if you will, that can guide you through life. And God has given us a road map called His Word. And He has told us things in the Bible that give us direction and give us wisdom and give us insight on how to make decisions when we come to forks in the road or multiple decisions and multiple directions of where we have to go. And sometimes the decisions look good and sometimes they look difficult, but God's going to give us some direction on which way do we need to go in our life. Do I need to make this decision or that decision or this decision? And so as we're taking a look at some of these passages in the Bible dealing with roads in some way, we've come to one in Luke. And for our study over these 5 weeks that we've been into this roads thing, we are looking at encounters with Jesus on roads in the book of Luke. And so now we're taking a look here in this incredible story with Zacchaeus. So with that said, take your Bibles and take a look at Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read 10 verses. Now, I use the New Living Translation, if you're interested in that. So if you don't have that, it may sound a little different. If you don't have a Bible today, that's okay. Just listen, and here we go. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made His way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, sort of like Ben. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, you know, because he just couldn't believe what was happening. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. And meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now look at verse 10. This is important because the whole point of this encounter with Jesus, or Luke telling us about Zacchaeus, is summarized right here. He says in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And so the whole point of this story with Zacchaeus is to give us an example or give us an illustration of what it looks like when Jesus is on the move seeking and saving people who are lost. And so what I want to do today is I just want to unpack this for us a little bit and give us some principles of what it looks like to join Jesus, to partner with Jesus in this seeking and saving mission that he has. And we see, again, one example of him doing this with this guy named Zacchaeus. But let's give our attention real quick to verse 10, okay? Let me just give you some highlights here. The phrase Son of Man was a title that Jesus used for himself. It was a messianic title taken from Daniel chapter 7 that referred to both his humanity and his deity. And so when Jesus was talking about himself, he often used this little phrase, the Son of Man. But those who knew, and he usually just used that phrase with those who knew the Old Testament in the Bible times, because they immediately connected that with the Messiah, the Deliverer. They knew who he was referring about. And that's also one reason why it offended a lot of people for him to say that he was the Son of Man, because he was claiming to be God in the flesh. All right, so he's referring to himself here. Then the word seek means to give attention to and to give priority to. This isn't just looking for something for looking for something's sake. This is something important. I'm going to go find it. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm going to readjust my schedule, and I'm going to go on a hunt. I'm going to go on a treasure hunt. This is not just hoping to come across something. This is a intentional, high priority, something important to Jesus. He's on a mission that involves seeking and hunting and pursuing. And what's interesting is that when you think of Psalms 23, one of the verses in Psalms 23 says that his goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That word follow doesn't mean follow around like a shadow follows you around or a puppy dog follows you around. That word follow in Psalm 23 means to pursue and hunt down for the purpose of overtaking. God's goodness and his mercy follow me, hunt me down, pursue me all the days of my life. That's what Psalm 23 says. So this is the kind of seeking we're talking about here. Then the verse 10 goes on to say, uses this word save. He came to seek and to save. It means to rescue someone from great danger. Zacchaeus was in great danger and he didn't even know it. But Jesus came to seek people like Zacchaeus and to save them. Now some of you here today are already believers. Man, you're a follower of Jesus. You're born again. At some point, Jesus was seeking after you. He found you. He got a hold of you somewhere on your journey in your life, and he saved you. He rescued you. And we call that being born again, becoming a new creation, becoming a follower of Jesus. And the word lost in verse 10 refers to those who are without Christ. They're just simply, they're lost. They don't know where they're headed. They really don't know where they're going. And Jesus came to seek and to save those. Now, what we have here is, in Zacchaeus, is some principles of how somebody who is not liked, who is hated, who was rejected, and that Jesus, in the middle of the crowd, he's going to pick out one of the most notorious sinners, one of the most hated people in the whole crowd, and he's going to point him out, highlight him up in the tree, and say, you know what, I want to hang out with you today. Instead of looking around at the cleanest, most righteous people, and he's seeking, who needs me? Think about it. Zacchaeus really won the award in that moment. Who needs me the most? Who is the worst off? Well, it was Zacchaeus. And we'll see that in just a moment. And Jesus picked him out. Now, as we go through this, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to think about a couple of things. You may identify with Zacchaeus as we go through this story and say, man, I'm the one that needs rescuing. But for some of you, you're going to identify with just Jesus and seeking, and you're going to think of a Zacchaeus in your life, somebody that most people would reject, overlook, don't want to have anything to do with, they're hard to live with, man, personality conflicts, clash. They're mean, they're obnoxious, they're selfish, they're greedy, whatever. There's going to be somebody in your life, there's going to be a Zacchaeus, and as we go through this, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to think about, okay, God, how do I partner with you? How do I seek and let you save this guy? How do I journey with you in reaching him or her? Okay? So as we go through this, think of your Zacchaeus. All right, so here we go. We're going to unpack some principles here. Number one, rejected people are everywhere. You need to understand that when you are on a mission with Jesus and you're after a Zacchaeus, you're going to find that there's people who are rejected everywhere around you. Now, I want you to understand the level of this rejection that Zacchaeus was experiencing, because you have to understand that he was a major outcast. Because in verse 2, Zacchaeus is described as the chief tax collector in the region. Now, to help you understand, you know, tax collectors back then aren't like today. You know, I have friends who work, you know, in the tax collecting department and IRS and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're not greedy, mean, vicious, evil people trying to ruin your life. Okay? But in the world of Jesus' time, tax collectors, well, that was a whole other animal. I want to read you something. This is from John MacArthur's commentary. I think he does a good job at trying to grab hold of the kind of person we're talking about when it comes to being a tax collector. Here's how he describes this for the first century tax collector. Tax collectors had a certain amount that they were required to collect. And whatever they collected beyond that, they were permitted to keep. In addition to the poll tax on everyone, including slaves, income tax, about 1%, and land tax, 1/10 of all grain and 1/5 of all wine and fruit, there were taxes on the transport of goods, letters, produce, using roads, crossing bridges, and almost anything else that the greedy minds of the tax collectors could think of. They could tax anything they wanted. All of that left plenty of room for larceny, extortion, exploitation, and even loan sharking, as tax collectors loaned money at a high, incredible interest to those who were unable to pay their taxes. Tax collectors also employed thugs to physically intimidate people into paying and to beat up those who refused. That's Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, we'll see in a moment, he wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. So what you have is you've got this Zacchaeus, this little short guy. He has worked his way up in the ranks. He became a tax collector, began collecting taxes, creating how to make taxes. He had to give a certain amount to the government, to Rome, but then he could tax whatever whatever he wanted to get away with. He could tax. He could be walking around thinking, you know what, we ought to tax that. Well, I ought to tax that. And he worked his way up and he became a chief tax collector, where he has tax collectors working underneath him, and he would tell them things and they would go get it done and they would pay him money. And if people didn't get it paid, then they had their thugs. I mean, it was almost like a Roman tax mafia kind of a thing. So this is Zacchaeus. But also I want you to notice that this is the reason why he was being rejected, because of this tax collecting, the way that was run. But he was also a filthy rich. If you look in verse 2 again, it said he had become very rich. He had gotten rich off the taxes of the backs of people. This guy wasn't just rich, he was very rich. But I describe him as filthy rich because of how he had to get there. He was also desperate. We're taking a look at why he was rejected and those kinds of things. And in verse 3, Luke lets us know that Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus for some reason. And Luke says this. He says, Zacchaeus, this is verse 3, tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And, you know, I wonder if God had already been working on Zacchaeus, because it was obvious that here's a little guy. I mean, I know how I am. If I'm standing and I'm watching a parade of some type, and I know I realize I'm 6'4". I get it. And, you know, and I'm standing there, and I usually don't try to stand in front of people, you know, because I know I'll block stuff, you know. And I'm not a wee little man like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, you know, if somebody comes up to me and they're obviously really wanting to see the thing, and, you know, and he's like, say, this tall, you know, I'm not going to go, hey, man, go back, too late, you late. Go climb that tree over there. You know, I'm not going to do that. I say, yeah, go ahead, go on up there. You know, but there was nobody was going to let Zacchaeus up the front. And this may explain why, because he was a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector. He'd made life miserable for a bunch of people. You know, and I can see some folks, you know, if he comes up and they realize, I don't think so. You get my money, I'm getting this spot, you know, and just saying, you leave me alone. So, but he, for some reason, he was really desperate to see Jesus, but nobody would let him through there. And Again, I'm wondering if because of this desperation, this eagerness of him wanting to see Jesus, I'm wondering if he had already heard it. Obviously, he had heard plenty about Jesus, and we're getting to the near the end of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus had already done a lot of miracles. His reputation was just way out there. He was larger than life, you know, in people's minds, and he had done some incredible things. And this is Zacchaeus. There's something inside of him that his money was not satisfying. His authority and power and his leadership and his position was not satisfying. There's something empty going on there. And he was really wanting to get a glimpse of this Jesus for whatever reason that he was willing to go climb up a tree. Something going on there. But he was rejected. Now, number two. Rejected people, they need our friendship. Now, here's what's going to be interesting is because as we're going to learn here with Zacchaeus that the Bible doesn't tell us this, but church history tells us this. Let's fast forward a little bit. With Zacchaeus, he is chief tax collector, done a lot of bad things, hurt a lot of people. Jesus is about to get a hold of his life. Now remember, people are rejecting this guy. Jesus is about to get a hold of his life. He is about to be transformed to the point where he is willing to give half his wealth to the poor and then pay people four times as much. If whoever he stole from or ripped off, he's going to give them four times as much back. Church history tells us that when you move into Acts and you get on down, it's not in the book of Acts, but somewhere along the way, church history tells us that Peter assigned Zacchaeus the head leadership bishop. That's the word they used back in the day, the bishop position of a church over Caesarea. He becomes a significant spiritual leader in the New Testament, in the early church. This is Zacchaeus. Kind of like, it's almost at the same level of that as the Apostle Paul, going from Saul to Paul. This is Zacchaeus. He is totally transformed. Matter of fact, when I was thinking about Zacchaeus, and since we're bumping up with Thanksgiving and starting to head into Christmas, you know who Zacchaeus reminds me of? You mean it's still Christmas Day and I still have time? Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, this is transformation. I'm going to start being generous. I'm going to start blessing people. And he does it to such a point that he is obviously respected, loved, and valued, and trusted to the point where he becomes a leader in the church later on. It's just amazing. But he started off as a notorious sinner, the Bible describes him, and he was somebody who was being rejected. But however, this all didn't happen just out of nowhere. Number two, as I've already said, is that rejected people need our friendship. And in verses 5 and 6, Jesus gives us some insight in how to be a friend to those who are rejected. Let me introduce those to you quickly. And what we're going to call this, we're going to call these evangelistic friendships. This isn't a friendship that, you know, it's just solely, I'm just going to hang out with you, and once I lead you to Christ, you get saved, I'm out of your life. That's not what we're talking about. It's just an organic, natural relationship that God brings into your life, that you develop a relationship with, that God lays on your heart, that you need to spend some time with, that you need to invest in, too, and for the purpose of that, God is drawing this person, and God's going to use you significantly in some way to lead that person to Christ, an evangelistic friendship. All right, real quick, here we go. Four principles on this evangelistic friendship. And again, rejected people need our friendship. Number one, an evangelistic friendship occurs as you live life. Jesus was living his life. He was going through his ministry. He was going from town, just doing what the Heavenly Father wanted him to do. It was when Jesus came by that he connected with Zacchaeus. There are going to be times in your life you're just doing your thing. You're going to go to Walmart. You're going to go to work. You're going to go to school. You're going to be a part of this. You're going to be a part of that. And there is going to be someone. You're going to meet somebody, see somebody. And what's going to happen is God's going to place on your heart that, wow, there's something significant here. I need to invest in this person. I need to hang out with this individual. And it's just going to be as you go. It's not like you're going out trying to find somebody, you know. It's just you're living your life, and these divine relationships are going to happen. Number two, an evangelistic friendship will become clear to you. It's not like, I mean, it's not whether you're not, it's not going to be, does God want me to invest in this person or not? You know, no, it's going to be very clear to you, because the Bible says that when Jesus came by, he looked up at Jesus. And this isn't just like walking, la da 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 da, oh, there's a guy up in a tree, da 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 da, you know, and just mosey on. No, I mean, there was a lot of people around him, and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus in a tree, and that word looked up means kind of look up intently. There's a connection there. There's something divine happening here. We don't catch it in our English language, but the phrase looked up means something significant is happening here. You know, Zacchaeus grabs Jesus' attention in a divine way. And I think when you're walking and you're doing your thing and you're living life and you're following God, and as you go to work and school and all that kind of stuff, you're going to come across people and you're going to meet people and you're going to have a conversation with people, and you're going to just be looking at them and you're going to have a conversation, and there's something in your heart that's going to say you need to pour your life into that person. You're going to look up from your desk. You're going to look up from your workstation. You're going to look up from your book, and there's this person, for whatever reason, God wants you to invest in and to build a relationship with. It's a Zacchaeus that God has brought into your life. Number three, an evangelistic friendship is also personal. Jesus called him by name. Now, obviously, Jesus has something we don't. He's also God in the flesh. Okay, when you're God in the flesh, you kind of know a lot of things, okay, and you have a pretty good memory, okay. And now, but for us, the principle I want you to see here is that even though Jesus already knew his name, which probably surprised everybody around, also surprised Zacchaeus, I think for us, it reminds us we need to get to know the Zacchaeuses in our life. This doesn't mean you need to know everybody's name. It does mean you need to know the Zacchaeuses in your life. You need to know who they are. You need to know where they are. You need to get to know them. Okay, you don't have to know everybody. You don't need to know everybody in this room. But you do need to know those Zacchaeuses in your life. It's going to be a personal relationship. An evangelistic friendship will also take time. Jesus told Zacchaeus, come down, I must be a guest in your home today. Now, Jesus is not giving us an illustration of just walking up to the Zacchaeus in our lives and say, hey, by the way, I want you to take me out for dinner. That's not what's happening. There's more going in there, and there's a culture thing happening there we don't have time to unpack. But the point is that Jesus is opening the door for Zacchaeus and he to spend time together, which most people would not expect. But we're going to hang out with these Zacchaeuses. It can't be done from an evangelistic friendship cannot be done at a distance. It's very difficult. So this takes us to our third observation, number three. Loving the rejected is not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, there will be some who will oppose you. Good people, Christian people may oppose you on this. You will be criticized. You will be misunderstood. And people will say strange things about you. They did it with Jesus and they will do it with you. Look at what we're told in verse 7. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Mm-mm-mm. But Jesus, he didn't care. Now remember, we started with verse 10. The whole point of the story of Zacchaeus is about verse 10. Jesus came to do what? Seeking to save that which was lost. Jesus was on a mission. And he didn't care what anybody had to think. He didn't care what they thought about how he was doing his ministry, what he was doing, how he was hanging out, who he's hanging out with, or what, you know. He was on a mission, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus was lost, and there's this divine appointment. And he looked up, and there was Zacchaeus, and Jesus knew that the Heavenly Father wanted him to invest in Zacchaeus in life and share the gospel with him, and he went ahead and did all that stuff. He went ahead and invested in Zacchaeus, despite the criticism, the grumbling. And what's funny is the Bible, it's almost like he just totally ignores that kind of stuff. And you're going to have to ignore it as well. When people are criticizing you for the way you do ministry, the way you're reaching people for Christ, and you're leading people to Christ and making disciples, and people don't like your way, you know what? At least you got a way. You know, most of the folks who criticize people doing ministry, they usually aren't doing ministry. You ever notice that? And Jesus, he is telling us it's not going to be easy. Now, number four, rejected people need the truth. They need the truth. And so the Zacchaeuses in your life, they're going to need to hear the gospel in some way. Now, between verses 7 and 8, time has elapsed. This isn't like bam, 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 bam. Now, he comes down from the tree. He hangs out with Zacchaeus for a while. And then we hear this result in verse 8. And so there's this time lapse between verses 7 and 8. And for whatever reason, Luke does not tell us how Jesus explained the gospel, how Jesus explained salvation. But it was obviously enough that he got it and he was ready for it, because in verse 8 we see what's going on here. Verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated on their taxes, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Now, even though we don't see the presentation of the gospel, we see the results of someone responding to it. That's what's happening here. So take a closer look at this. In Zacchaeus' statement, we see three things, three results of him responding to the gospel. First of all, there is a resolution. Man, he makes a decision. He says, the Bible tells us, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. Now, that's odd. Why would Luke point this out? Why would he say, tell us that Zacchaeus stood before the Lord? Well, it was like they were sitting down. This phrase means that they were sitting down having a conversation. And somewhere in that conversation, the Holy Spirit got a hold of Zacchaeus, and he realized the truth that what Jesus was talking about. And Zacchaeus, as a demonstration of his commitment and a demonstration of his resolution to become a follower and a believer in the one true God and a follower that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior, Zacchaeus, he stands up before Jesus, almost like an attention, like a salute, like as a, I am now available. I am a follower of you. I am standing before you. He took his stand with Jesus. That's what's happening here. And he makes this resolution, and it's clear to everybody in the room, and it's clear to Jesus that Zacchaeus is making a decision. Then there's not only a resolution, but there is also repentance that happens. As he stood before the Lord, he said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Now, usually when people get saved, there is usually that sin in their life that got them there. You know, for some, it may be something to do with drugs or alcohol, and it just ruined their life to the point to where they had to cry out before God. And for others, it may be something else. It may have something to do with sexual morality, or it may have something to do with some other activity. But for others, for Zacchaeus, it had to do with greed and wealth. And when he stood before the Lord, he realizes that, hey, you know what? I am a sinner. I need to repent. I need to turn everything over. The first thing that came to Zacchaeus' mind was the idol that had been in his life for so long. And that was all this money. This greed had driven him. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I'm going to give half my wealth away. Now think about it. That's a significant statement for Zacchaeus. Now, I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what it was. But every one of us has something in our life that when we come to Jesus, we know that Jesus is dealing with that in our life, and we need to stand before Jesus, and we need to give that thing up. Zacchaeus is doing that. And this brings us to this third little thing that Zacchaeus that demonstrates as a result of his salvation, and that was a restitution. There is restitution. Not only was he going to give half his wealth to the poor, but he also said, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. He was going to make things right. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't saying, well, I don't know if I've cheated anybody or not, so if I have, I guess I'll give four times as much? Is that good? Now, that's not what Zacchaeus, no. He was saying, if I've cheated anyone, meaning I know I've cheated people, and I'm going to pay them back. I'm going to give him four times as much. I'm giving half my wealth away to the poor. This other wealth that I've got, remember, he was very rich. The Bible says he was going to take that and he was going to make things right on people that he had cheated and deceived out of money. Total turnaround. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was not blowing smoke and just throwing words to the wind to sound good. So Jesus knew Zacchaeus meant it, and as a result, this is what he said. He said, salvation has come to this home today. Oh, when somebody really gets saved, they truly get saved, there is a change. Something happens somewhere in their life. They stop doing something, or they start doing something, or there is a visible something has happened to him. There's no question about it. In the Zacchaeus, we see that on his journey, on his road, when he heard Jesus was coming through town, he wanted to go see him. He was very desperate to see him for whatever reason. Maybe God was already working his life, which he was, and he's looking. People wouldn't let him through. He was in a notorious sinner. People didn't want to have anything to do with him. He'd hurt a lot of people. He climbs up in a tree. Jesus is walking along. He looks up, and he says, Zacchaeus, I want to spend some time with you. From there on, his life never remains the same. Now, you're here today, and I think Jesus is passing by in some way, and he's tapping you on the heart, and he's looking at you, and you're up in your little tree, whatever that tree is, and he says, I want to come home with you today. I want to spend some time with you. What would be your response to that? You know, Jesus is already working in your life right now. I mean, I can sense it. I think God is talking to some people today. You are Zacchaeus, and you know it. Man, you've hurt people, you've blown it, and you want to make some things right, and you're not sure how to do that. I want to tell you, beyond a shadow of doubt, Jesus can help you make things right. But the first thing is, you've got to get right with him. Step one, and that is placing your faith in Jesus Christ, and just like Zacchaeus did, and letting him transform you from the inside out, to get rid of some idols in your life, and to make sure that God is the one true God, and that you're living for him, and you're ready to do whatever he tells you to do. If that's you today, I mean, if you're the Zacchaeus, and you need to talk to someone about your relationship with Jesus, we want to talk to you. Now, you can hang around and you can approach me, you can approach Ben, Chris, or just talk to a Christian that you trust, somebody you're comfortable with, you know, if you want to. But you need to talk to someone. Have a conversation like Zacchaeus and Jesus did. They were able to get together, have a conversation, answer Zacchaeus' questions, and where Zacchaeus was able to make a clear decision about following Jesus. You need that. You need that opportunity. Now, if you don't have anybody you feel comfortable talking to, there's a connection card in your seat. We encourage you to take that, fill it out, give it to me or Ben or Chris, or place it down at the Welcome Center and say, hey, I just want to talk to somebody about becoming a follower of Jesus. Ever how you want to word it, we'll get a hold of you ASAP if you can't hang around today and talk. But we want to set up a time to meet with you like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Now, some of you, you're not Zacchaeus. You used to be Zacchaeus. Okay, and you now are a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is going to work through you. You're going to be his eyes, his mouth, his hands, his feet. You're going to be Jesus in the flesh to some people. And so the question for you is, who is Zacchaeus in your life right now? Who is it that God has placed on your heart and mind that you need to give some special attention to? Now here's a principle. It's not one of your points, but this is significant in this evangelistic friendship. You need to get this. Zacchaeus didn't really initiate the relationship. It was who? It was Jesus. It's going to be you. You're going to have to initiate the relationship in some way. Invite him over to your house, whatever it is that you do, take him out to lunch, hang out with him in the break room, you know, be intentional about the whole thing. If this is a Zacchaeus in your life, it's going to be, Jesus is going to initiate. He is the one seeking, he's the one saving, and he's going to do that through you, his church, his believers, his people. So the question that you need to wrestle with is, who is your Zacchaeus, and how does God want you to initiate and reach out? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, it's amazing to me that you were able to take somebody like a Zacchaeus and transform them radically. Lord, that gives us hope with our own life, but also hope that you can use us in reaching new people. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We are so glad that you're working in our life. And don't let us ignore the times when we recognize Zacchaeus is up in the tree and we're looking right at him or her. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.